No! Well, 10 beers.
My advice to you, start drinking heavy. I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Now, whose ass I gotta kiss to get myself a beer?
All right, welcome to show number 22, first show of the new year.
And, 2006.
2006, in case you'd forgotten what year it is. And we are doing the Wisconsin show. And why, you're asking yourself, Wisconsin? And the answer to that is?
Well, I went on a beer run.
You went on a beer run. A long distance beer run.
1,800 mile beer run.
That's right. And and I don't know who was the designated driver on that.
Well, I was, but it was a sober beer run.
All right. But you brought back, Rick has brought back beers from the promised land of Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is known for many things. We talked about the beer. And of course, I'm thinking of the New Glarus beer that we're drinking, which I discovered while I was there. And you reminded me it's also home for the big beers, too.
Right. Miller Brewing Company out of Milwaukee.
Yep.
And, yeah, I think that's it as far as the big breweries.
But and it's right across the street, literally, from Minnesota. And so there's a lot of breweries, a lot of microbrews. And, of course, everybody knows Wisconsin for cheese and cheese heads. And we kind of know them for the beer that they make there. Yeah. And it's excellent. And you brought back a nice little map.
In particular, I scheduled a bit of my vacation around... Oh, sorry, it was a vacation. It wasn't really a beer run. But around beer. So we did schedule in some time to go to New Glarus itself and do the factory tour, and it's a wonderful tour. Right. Anybody that gets to Madison, New Glarus is just about 30 miles south. I highly recommend going out there. They've got great restaurants, great food, which we'll be talking about during the show. But the tour itself is very interesting because it's self-guided audio tour, and you get to look at all the cool equipment and see them in action brewing beer, making the yeast.
But so we kind of had our warm-up beers to get us primed and ready for the show, and we're drinking Spotted Cow. Spotted Cow is a cask-conditioned ale, naturally cloudy, and this is made, it's called a farmhouse ale. It's brewed with flaked barley and the finest Wisconsin malts and a little hint of corn. This ale is fun, fruity, and satisfying, and you know you're in Wisconsin when you see the Spotted Cow. It's a 5.1% by volume. It's a fantastic everyday drinking beer, and I'm loving this beer. Every one I drink puts a smile on my face. So I've enjoyed our warm-up beers, and I guess we also need to talk about our musical guest, who you've heard before on several of the shows, Joe Galea. We finally talked to Joe. We've got an interview coming up, and we've got so much interview, we may even carry it over to the next show. And what else you got? You got...
Right now, we are drinking the Fat Squirrel.
Oh, yeah, okay. We're drinking the Fat Squirrel, and am I reading this one?
Uh-huh.
The Fat Squirrel says, one deceptively spring-like winter day, Brewmaster Dan walked home from the brewery, sat down to dinner, and said, boy, there's some fat squirrels out there. They're running all over the place. I think I should brew a Fat Squirrel Nut Brown Ale. Deb agreed, and so another beer legend was born. So apparently in Wisconsin, virtually anything inspires you. It's 100% Wisconsin malt. Six different varieties impart the natural toasted color to this bottle-conditioned unfiltered ale. Clean hazelnut notes result from these carefully chosen barley malts. Hops from Slovenia, Bavaria, and the Pacific Northwest give Fat Squirrel its backbone. When the going gets tough, remember to relax a moment and enjoy the Fat Squirrel in your neighborhood. This is a nut brown ale.
Yeah. So these New Glarus beers, they're all over the place. I mean, you go into a Shell gas station or something, and they're on the shelf along with the Budweisers and the Bud Lights and all that.
That's in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
Did you get a chance to find out what kind of a range do they have, or they get outside of Wisconsin?
I don't know, but they are one of the major microbrews going right now.
The brown ale, it's sweet. It's not over-the-top hopped by any means. Very, very good. Very enjoyable.
So I think the story of these two, you mentioned their names. It's on the bottle.
Dan and Deb.
Dan and Deborah Carey. She was missing her home state, so she drew a circle around Madison and said, pick a city you want to live in. So they moved there, and he had a degree in a master diploma brewer.
Really? Is he himself from Wisconsin?
Well, he got his Bachelor of Science in Brewing degree at the University of California, Davis.
Ah, okay. Well, that's not a bad place to learn.
So he was also a valedictorian of the Siebel Institute course in Brewing Science and Technology.
So he knows one or two things about making a beer.
So he's college educated in brewing beer.
One of them college graduates.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, they picked this New Glarustown, which is actually very nice. It's a Swedish suburb. So.
And you said something about the brewery. They started off, they got the brewery going, and they went to
Germany. There was an old German brewer who was retiring, and they were going to demolish the building. So they ended up tearing out the brewing equipment and shipping it to the United States. They had to hire East German workers to help.
Yeah.
It sounds like a real wing and cuff stuff, you know. It's like by the seat of your pants.
And this is on their website too, right? They got some pictures of it. Mm. I looked at their website.
It does have pictures of their brew tun, their mash tun, and their brew pot, but it doesn't really go into the long history of how they went to Germany to tear it apart.
Yeah,
you know. And then they also had a little bit of luck, and then they got a new bottling line.
Okay.
From a brewery in Boston, which I guess was either upgrading or closing down.
Yeah. So they built their brewing company based on the quality of their beers, and they've kind of patchworked together some of the equipment, and the end result is excellent beer and apparently a nice place to brew it too.
Yeah.
Their website, we forgot to mention, is newglarusbrewing.com, and it's worth a trip. I've been there. It's a nice site. Got a lot of details about all the beers we're drinking. The only criticism I have is we can't get it here. So yep. That's my only black mark against them. They're one of my favorite beers. And
now, specifically why I went there is I was looking for the sour brown, which was gone.
The one that I mentioned, the unplugged line of beers that they
did. That was just a one-off that they did.
And I missed that. And hopefully they'll pay attention to us and do it again. So why don't we take a minute and listen to the interview that we've got with Joe Galea and it's not real hard to draw Joe out of his shell. And you've heard him on the show before, excellent blues man, and his new album is filled with blues, with soul, with R&B, just a little something of everything. Joe's got a very colorful history, and it's a fascinating story. Go to cdbaby.com, go to joegaleaband.com, learn a little bit more, or go to bigfoamyhead.com and click the link to go visit his website, read up on him, and you'll hear Joe talking about his stint that he did in Vietnam, which we salute that, and thought that was mighty nice of him to go over there and entertain the troops. And so let's give a listen to Joe Galea and the interview. Here you go.
Hey, you got a great program there.
Well, thank you.
You have some great music.
Hey, we're trying, you know.
Yeah.
It's a new emerging technology, and we're just getting on board. And, you know, if things go right, we'll figure out a way to write off all our beer drinking. That's the whole goal of this, right? Be able to drink and write it off the taxes. So,
well, are you familiar with James Squire? James Squire beer? I was given a six-pack for my birthday.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, I tell you what, kicks your ass.
Yeah. And you said it's like 6.8% alcohol or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could get some to you, but can't do it.
Yeah, they'd wrestle us to the ground if you sent anything over here. I mean, in Tennessee especially. They don't want us getting anything good. But we may figure out a back door somehow, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering if you got a pretty good craft beer industry down there.
Like, Australians are real beer drinkers, you know.
Yeah.
And we have like, boutique kind of breweries and... down in Gippsland, they've got this really strong beer down there, and there's a lot happening in beer.
Yeah, cool.
And I like all of it.
Well, so do we.
I mean, I'm sure when you go, you know, you're doing a lot of dates and playing in these clubs and stuff. Is there, you know, like here we got the Budweisers and Millers and the football Big Brother type beers that, you know, everybody drinks. What would be the equivalent of that in Australia? I mean, would it be
all right? It's I would say Victoria Bitter.
Yeah.
Carlton Draft.
Carlton. Okay.
Your big
Carlton Draft.
Your big import is Foster's.
That's a very big seller here.
Yeah.
Your big import is Foster's into the U.S. They've got a huge market.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I don't think Foster's is a big seller out here. I think it's better known in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, we sell it here, of course, but it's not a. I don't think people drink much of it at all.
Really?
Mainly Victorian bitter.
Really?
Well,
because they claim, what's their tagline?
It's Australian for beer, mate.
It's Australian for beer. Yeah. That's their whole commercial. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Victorian bitter is, once upon a time, we've got New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland, and they have their own beer.
Yeah.
But Tui's Old, Tui's New, Rish's, that's New South Wales.
Yeah.
But now, Victorian Bitter is on tap everywhere you go.
Okay.
It doesn't matter where you go, north, south, east, or west.
Yeah.
You can buy it over the bar, like draft.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's not a bad drink.
Well, good. I mean, if you're getting bitters, I'm assuming it's like a bitter style ale. I mean, or it's not a lager, is it?
An extra special bitter.
Yes, it is. It is. It is bitter ale. That's what it is.
Yeah, you can barely get an ale around here.
I spent 2 years in Vietnam, and we used to entertain the troops there.
Right.
And all I used to drink was, all we could get was Schlitz, Budweiser, of course, and Miller's.
Yeah.
And to us, it was very, very light beer. We were used to a lot stronger beer.
Yeah.
Well, we have to commend you for...
drink about four cans to every...
Yeah. Well, I guess, that's what we kind of look at some of the beers like Budweiser and Miller that are served up here in America. And you got all the college kids just swilling down mass quantities of it and stuff, and it barely makes a dent. But
we have to commend you for Vietnam, though. Good job with that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So you were entertaining the troops during the war, right?
Yeah, we were there from 1970. 1970 and 72. I think we were one of the last groups to actually come out of Vietnam.
Those were some dangerous times.
Oh yeah, we played everywhere there was an American installation or base. We entertained.
Yeah.
Cameron Bay, Da Nang, all those places.
Wow.
And we did a lot of work for the Marine Corps.
So how did that come about?
Well, we were over in Bangkok. I think we were one of the first Round Eye groups in Bangkok. This is in late 69.
Yeah.
And there used to be a lot of American troops bound to Bangkok on R&R.
Yeah, yeah.
And one guy came down to the club where we were working, and he said, "Why don't you go to Vietnam?" He said, "And entertain our boys, I said, "Well, how in the bloody hell do you get there,
Yeah.
So he said, "It just so happens," he said, "that I'm on the auditioning panel."
Yeah.
You actually had to go there and actually audition.
So you had to go to Vietnam to audition.
We did. We went to Vietnam, and we auditioned, and thank the Lord that not blowing our own trumpet, but we were one of the best groups that they ever had over there.
Yeah.
And we worked, 2-3 gigs a day for, 2 years.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And we have to get out every, say, 6 months.
Yeah.
And have a bit of a break, go to Hong Kong, and then come back in and do some more work for the troops.
Wow. Well, that is...
That was great.
That's quite the tour.
Were you doing blues-style music back then?
I was doing more soul at the time.
Yeah. Okay. How was that received by the troops? Because that was kind of new to people here in the States also.
I was doing Joe Cocker stuff. I was singing... I threw in a bit of blues in as well, too. It was soul music. You have to cater for all different kinds of people. You had your young guys, they liked stuff that Eric Clapton did, you know, and so we did some of that. For the Hispanics, I used to do a couple of Jose Feliciano songs for the sergeants. With the flat top haircut, I used to do a bit of Buck Owens and Johnny Cash, and
all
kinds of music.
And of course for the colored guys, I did like Sam and Dave, Otis Redding, Wilson Pickett.
Cool. Now see, now you're getting into soul, and you know, we were talking about earlier that we play a lot of blues, and the reason we play blues on this show, and they're not really like, you know, people hear blues, they think slow, drag, crying in your beer, and that's just not true. You know, you got that, of course, but it's kind of roots music to me. I mean, blues came from way back, and just about every style of music is patterned after that in some form or another.
Oh, look, I totally agree. I mean, a lot of people in Australia, too, you know, when you say, oh, we're a blues band, and they say, oh, well, you know, that's too boring.
Yeah.
Until they come and watch what we do, you
know. Exactly, exactly.
I just watch the people feet, you know, they're tapping their feet. I know they're having a good time, you know.
Yeah. Well, you can't hardly help it. And, well, let's talk about your music for a minute. I wanted to talk about you're sending us some music that we're going to post and we're going to play during the show, and it's from your previous album and your current one, right?
That's right.
And the thing I know, now I haven't seen the playlist for your previous album. I've got some of the tracks, of course, but I was going to ask you, because this new album, Midnight in New Orleans.
Midnight in New Orleans.
Right.
Yeah.
You... I had a couple of questions. First thing was, when did you finish production on that?
That was about 6 months before that.
Katrina.
Before they had that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was where I was going with that. I wondered because the title track there really kind of captures a lot of the mood of the city, and I don't know how often you've been to New Orleans. I've been there quite a bit.
I have never been to the States.
Get out, really? Yeah. Well, we'll have to have you over.
I have never... Look, I tell you, when I got back to Australia, I had lots of work down here, and now, I mean, I'm cracking my neck to get over there, you know?
Yeah, well, we love to have you over here. I mean, you know, everything that you sing and your whole style fits right into Memphis.
I'd love to get over there. I'm going to make it, like I said, whether I come over to perform or vacation, it doesn't matter, but I'm going to get over there, and that's for sure.
Well, you know, they're okay with you standing out there and playing in the middle of the street with your hat down on the curb.
Yeah, you would do well on Beale Street, I think.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you wouldn't believe how good some of the bands are out there on the curb. You don't even have to go in, you know. But where I was going with that was I thought I had been to New Orleans a number of times. I got a lot of friends in New Orleans who were just, of course, wiped out literally by the hurricane. But I thought that that particular song did a real good job of capturing the essence. And now I'm real surprised that you've never been there.
But, no, I've never been there. I was always a fan of a guy by the name of Long John Baldry.
Yep, know who he is.
And he he passed away just after the hurricane. But I've always liked that kind of music down there. You know, I mean, I've got heaps and heaps of albums.
Yeah.
And I love Fats Domino, and I love Jerry Lee Lewis, and you know, I like that Louisiana beat.
Yeah.
And you know, and it just, I love it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis, he lives down the street in Mississippi now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's from Shreveport, isn't he?
Yeah, but he came up here. He moved to Memphis. Oh. And
he's part of the Sun Studios thing.
Yeah, part of the Sun Studios deal. And,
So
what I was going to say is that why don't we play that? I know there's one of the tracks, and you're going to have to help me with the others, but I know you were sending Midnight in New Orleans, so why don't we play that? And we'll just take a break and let everybody listen to it.
That'll be fantastic. Midnight in New Orleans.
I hitched a ride from Memphis. I couldn't find those Beale Street boys. Chicago. I left them in America, riding down Highway 61, thinking Robert Johnson, you were the one. You sowed the seeds of love and fame. Now pretend to slip them off of your knee. Midnight. Dragged by the Susan Sling. Everybody's looking for something in the pain. Lord, at midnight in New Orleans, the moon watching over the sea. Midnight in New Orleans, just another broken down dream. Coming down on me. This ain't the way it's supposed to be. Looking for my soul, I found a broken heart. I sent for the doctor, the new star, Lord. Midnight in New Orleans, a new moon watching over the sea. Midnight in New Orleans, just another broken down dream. Midnight in New Orleans, blue moon watching over the sea. Midnight in New Orleans, just another broken down dream. Midnight in New Orleans, blue moon watching over.
We're enjoying us some Hardy Hop beer. It's the next one of the line.
And just to let you know, we're going to go through five beers tonight, so we're just taking like a little bit out of the bottle.
Yeah, bear with us, and if we start slurring our words and falling down there in the end, somebody call us a cab to bring Rick home.
Call us a lightweight also, because we're just having a taste of each.
Yeah, it's only seven beers.
Yeah, there you go. Between two people. Okay. So anyway, okay, the beer we're having is called a Hop Hardy Ale, and it says finally Hop Hardy Ale, the Wisconsin IPA you've been thirsting for. This ale is brewed with the best of old and new world hops. Then we infuse the aging tanks with the dry hop addition of Cascade and East Kent Goldings to bring home the hops. Expect this ale to pour a glass brimming with rich caramel flavors, along with intense hop aroma that you won't soon forget. Cleanly bitter and aromatic, this ale is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, and this is a also has got 6.1% alcohol.
By
so
long.
This is, you know, I kind of go around sometimes. I'm in the mood for a hoppy beer. This first thing you said this hits you over the head as soon as you smell it.
Just
it's got
the smell.
A nose like crazy on it. But the two words, and you just read this, was cleanly bitter. It's the hop taste in this is extremely fresh. It's like a fresh hop.
Yeah.
It's really a good taste, a good finish.
That was one of the cool things about the brewery tours. They had all the grains that they use and the hops out for tasting.
So were they flowers?
They're hop flowers.
Well, see, there you go. And
I got my daughter to eat a hop flower.
Really?
She wasn't real happy about it.
She didn't spit it up or anything?
Well, she spit out it.
But we didn't.
But it gets extremely bitter.
Well, we do need to thank your daughter also for providing the official show snack food.
Right, that's right.
The
wasabi peas.
So, thank you, Masha.
Yeah.
The wasabi peas found at your Better Target stores. So we're also going to touch base on you had the brush with greatness.
That's right. The second interesting part of the story was after we did the brewery tour, we went to a place called the Glarnerstube, which is roughly translates to the living room of New Glarus.
It was a restaurant.
Yeah, it's a Swiss-style restaurant, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, they feature sauerbraten, marinated beef, thinly sliced with sweet and sour onion gravy, pastetli, slices of veal, pork and chicken. Anyway, a great variety of foods. We had the Swiss cheese fondue.
Smorgasbord is?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, okay. I believe so.
Lots of Swiss food. And the cheese fondue.
No, smorgasbord, that's Swedish, isn't it?
You got me.
Okay, we should have studied this part. But
yeah.
Anyway.
But it was good and a lot of it.
So we had the Swiss cheese fondue.
Yeah.
The girls had that. And then I had a veal bratwurst, which was excellent with sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Anyway, while we were there, I also ordered a bottle of New Glarus, the cherry beer. No, the Frambois.
Oh, the raspberry tart.
Raspberry tart.
Right, and which we shared on New Year's Eve.
Yes, we did.
With the women folk.
So I was eating my my bratwurst, and the girls were eating their fondue and drinking the raspberry tart beer, and there's this huge table next to us, and the waitress comes up and says, well, that's Senator Russ Feingold there. So apparently he's got an annual tradition to bring his staff out.
Okay, for Christmas.
Right. So,
okay. And Russ Feingold, to the less enlightened viewers like
myself, is a senator from Wisconsin.
Okay, who you know, I'm all up on politics, apparently not, because I said, who's that?
Yeah, well, this guy has been on CNN and all the talk shows on Sunday mornings and all, you know.
So he's a big deal,
stuff.
Right?
Yeah, he's very, very Democrat.
What's the rumor?
Oh, he might be running for president
running,
in 2008.
Okay.
So anyway, I took a picture with my sister-in-law, my wife, and Russ Feingold, and the girls were all giddy and giggling all afternoon.
So they were like rubbing up against him while you took a picture? And
They were loving life.
Yeah, okay. So he's won two votes, at least, and maybe you.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm totally against the guy's politics, but
okay.
You got to respect the man in his position.
There you go. So did you notice, was he having a beverage? Or
He was. He was drinking wine.
Well, okay. All right. Well, that's not that's
he's in New Glarus and
better,
drinking wine.
Better
that's
than
a point
water,
against him.
But it's not. Yeah, that's right. He should have had a beer. So, you know, because we can make or break his campaign right here, right now.
Well, the exciting point about it is his mother was from Memphis, and he knew all about Beale Street, and he loved the area.
Okay.
So,
cool. There's that Wisconsin-Memphis connection.
Right, which is a strong connection, by the way.
Yeah. And is this your landmark? That we got to put this on the website.
Okay, so that was exciting for my wife and my sister-in-law.
Right. But here's
what was exciting for me.
Point. Yeah, this is
was
man culture.
The Glarnerstube has the largest or the biggest urinal in the Midwest.
There you go.
So I got to use the biggest urinal in the Midwest.
Well, and who wouldn't want to go to Wisconsin to use the biggest urinal? And now the beer stein in the picture, which we're going to put this on the website, the beer stein, that's for reference, right? This is, it's a giant urinal.
We're dropping the postcard.
And so this is, like you point out, it's a postcard. It's that good of a urinal. They make postcards out of it.
So go to the brewery tour. Excellent brewery tour. You might get to talk to the brewmaster. I didn't. Go to the restaurant. Get the veal bratwurst with sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Drink the New Glarus beers. And urinate in the world's
largest urinal
in the Midwest. That's a good day.
There you go. What more do you want?
And if you're lucky, you can meet a senator.
There you go. All right. So let's listen a little more to our Joe Galea. I'm chowing down on these wasabi peas now. The Joe Galea interview. Let's catch up with Joe some more and hear some more of his music. And we'll be right back. Okay, and now, through the magic of podcasting, we're back after listening to Midnight in New Orleans. You answered one of the questions about the production, so you had finished this before the Katrina thing.
Only by a month or so, I think.
Yeah, you just missed it. Well, and the other thing I wanted to ask you about was you got a little R&B going. On there, you've got one of the songs I recognized. It's like I was just clicking through it. I wasn't even looking at the titles, and I hear Stagger Lee.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, here's my first question about that. Whose version of Stagger Lee? Or was your inspiration for doing that song?
That's always been one of my favorite songs.
Okay.
Lloyd
Price?
Lloyd Price, I think.
Yep. He was the 1959 Lloyd Price.
That's right.
Yep.
I always want to do it in different groups that I've been in, and never had a chance. But since I got my own band now, like the Joe Galea band, I'm calling the shots.
There you go.
Mary had a little. We kicked it around a little bit. We practiced it and kicked it around, and like the saxophone player would say, "Oh, look, why don't we try this? And why don't we try that?"
Yeah.
And we finally came up with that version.
Yeah. Well, it came out great. I've heard a couple of different versions, and I did a little research because everybody. Maybe they don't know this what we're talking about, but everybody, I think, in the entire world has heard this song from one person or another. A lot of artists have done it. Do you know what the song is about? You know the lyrics. Okay.
Yes, of course. About a gambler that shook the other, supposedly shaking the other guy down.
Yep.
The guy didn't like being shook down, so he went back and shot him.
That's exactly right. And what it is, this is the story. William Lyons, 25, a guy that worked on the levee in St. Louis, was shot at 10 o'clock in the saloon of Bill Curtis by Lee Sheldon. And Lee, affectionately known as Stag, his name is Stag Lee. This is in 1895.
Wow.
The first version of the song came out in 1910, but nobody really knew about it. Apparently a bunch of people, including W.C. Handy, kind of changed around to where Stagger Lee became Stack-a-Lee, which was short for a tall person. But anyway, the one that we're all familiar with is the Lloyd Price version. He's the one that actually got some airplay, right? Where I got this from is Wikipedia on the net. And on Wikipedia, it's the encyclopedia of the Internet, got a lot of press here lately. It had this list of all these people who have sang this song, including Beck, the Black Keys, Nick Cave, Fats Domino, Bob Dylan, Dr. John, Duke Ellington, Woody Guthrie, Bill Haley, Isley Brothers. And you know who let me tell you who the last guy on the list is now. Joe Galea. I added you to the encyclopedia. So you're on Wikipedia now.
Oh.
As you're in good company here. So if you go to Wikipedia and look up Staggerly, and you're now an entry into the encyclopedia as well.
With Ike and Tina Turner.
Yeah, you're right below Ike and Tina Turner and Taj Mahal.
So, have you heard his version? Have you heard? It's very, very, very traditional.
The Taj Mahal one?
Yes.
No, I sure hadn't. And I noticed that Johnny Rivers, another near local guy.
He's got a version of that too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like you picked a near classic song that a lot of the big R&B and blues artists have done. So I thought that was a good choice
for this collection. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I really think the CD came out very well rounded. It's got something for everybody on it, and I enjoyed it immensely.
Well, thank you very much. Well, that's what I tried to do. I tried to please everybody. It's very hard to do, but that's what I tried to do anyway. Just try, as long as people have a good time listening to it, dance and.
Yeah.
And tap their feet. I'm very happy.
I was dead on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at two men who were gambling in the dark.
Tundra wasn't a quagmire, but the spotted cows and fat squirrels were ubiquitous. First year journalism award, use quagmire and ubiquitous in a sentence. Why did you think that was funny last night? So you wrote this down. Was this like...
I dreamed about it.
You dreamed this, the journalism award, the frozen tundra, the whole thing?
The whole thing.
My God. Okay. So you dreamed about fat squirrels and... spotted cows.
Well, I was trying to use quagmire and ubiquitous in a sentence.
So in your dream, you were still thinking about the New Glarus beer.
That's right.
It's that good. You dream about it. So that was a little bit of Joe Galea. And we got one more segment coming up, and I'm hoping we got enough material left over. Joe's just a fascinating guy. We really thank him for being with us. And as you listen to it, you probably could hear that sometimes Rick and I couldn't get a word in edgewise. Joe's just got so much to share with all of us. And
it was kind of hard to butt in once in a while.
But it was so hard. You know, we were in the phone booth feeding the quarters in as rapidly as we could go, and we ran out of change.
So, I don't want to see that phone bill.
Yeah, there you go. We're now drinking. What's our next one?
The Edel Pils.
Edel Pils, which is a Pilsner, I'm guessing.
Right. It says, our little village brewery in New Glarus, Wisconsin, is proud to offer you, to you, Edel Pils. This noble Pilsner is the creation of our brewmaster. He brought special yeast from Bavaria, combined it with Wisconsin barley and the finest Bavarian and American hops. Then employing traditional brewing methods, this Pilsner is finished with a long cold rest in our cellars. Expect this beer to be creamy, full-bodied, with a smooth finish. It will complement any fine meal or friendly gathering. Mm-hmm. We took our time in brewing it, so you might take your time enjoying it.
Yeah.
And it's 5.3.
And it goes well with wasabi peanuts.
Yeah, and I do have to say that they do use classic styles of brewing, because actually my sister-in-law got to peek into the mash tun, and they were doing a sparge at the time. So it was chained off, but... She sweet talked the guy into it. So.
There you go. We drank a little bit of this earlier. I think this is also part of our warm up or while we're doing an interview. We had some more. This is our second round of the Edel Pils, and it's got a kind of sweet corn like note to me. It's I guess it's a nice mouth feel. It's not as light as some Pilsners that you get. I think it's got a little bit of weight to it, and it's very, very tasty.
Yeah, I would say it's closer to a Pilsner or Quell. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Czech beer. Yeah.
But it tastes actually better, I think.
Yeah, I do, too. It's got a, there's kind of this nice, I wouldn't call it handmade or homemade, but it's you're drinking a quality product, and it's very good.
That's another interesting tidbit. I went to a Packer game. I had the pleasure of seeing the Bears, the displeasure of seeing the Bears beat the Packers, but the interesting thing is that they've got a great beer selection at Lambeau Stadium.
Really?
Yeah, there was one booth that had at least 30 different beer varieties.
Cool.
And then Linen-Cools were everywhere. Linies were ubiquitous.
Well, so you went to a football game and you had many beers to choose from.
Yeah. I had a Pilsner or Kel.
What more do you want?
If I'm not mispronouncing it. Pilsner or Kel.
Yeah, okay.
I'm Bo Stadium.
Okay, here's some beer news. And this, I don't know that this necessarily goes along with football beer, but it does have to do with beer. In Goleta Valley, California, a 25-year-old man wishing partygoers in Isla Vista a Merry Christmas while running around naked at a party December 3rd became violent. When another man told him to get dressed, the confrontation escalated when a glass of beer was thrown onto the streaking male. Enraged by the dousing, the naked man grabbed the beer thrower into a chokehold and slammed his head numerous times against the ground. Witnesses at the party helped lead authorities to the suspect, who was treated for assault with great bodily injury. The victim was treated for injuries at Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital. Well, in the first place, if you throw a beer away, you deserve to have your head slammed repeatedly against the ground.
Okay, that's an angle I did not expect.
And, I don't care what it is. I mean, it could be a Schaefer, it could be anything. You don't throw beer at the naked man.
Right, that's alcohol abuse.
Drink the beer, enjoy the naked man. For whatever, his little freeness to go around and wishing all of the partygoers at Isla Vista a Merry Christmas. So I thought that was pretty funny. All right, we got one more segment with Joe, and we've got...
This is going to be the marathon. This is going to be the marathon. Let's save this for next segment. This will be the marathon show from Hades.
Okay.
You know.
All right. So are we going to try one more beer?
No, we're going to go. We're going to go with this one.
We got a couple more beers.
This actually
to come,
ties into,
and we're going to pound them down and give you the high speed beer report. So let's take a few minutes to listen to some more Joe, and we'll be right back.
It's good beer drinking music.
That's right.
Oh, definitely. As a matter of fact, I just opened one now.
There you go. Okay, well, you're two you're two behind us.
So, I've got some imported beer now. I'm drinking Amsterdam Mariner.
Oh,
premium
okay.
lager.
Okay, there you go. Well, we're drinking imported Wisconsin beer.
Okay.
Rick brought it back to us, and that this show is all about you and Wisconsin beer.
Oh, right.
Well, on the music on this last CD, I know you did covers of songs, and how many of the songs were your own?
On this current one, I've only got one song of mine, which is called "Wash My Hands."
And I've got to tell you, that's my favorite song on the whole CD. We played that last show.
That was on a Christmas
show.
Yeah, that's excellent. And see, I played bits of your CD for my wife, and that was her favorite song too. So I think you got to win.
Oh, great!
Yeah, that's definitely a showcase.
On the other one, the previous one, I think I've got three that I wrote.
Yeah.
One's called "Things Have Changed," which is the title of the album.
Mm-hmm.
And "Ashamed to Say You're Mine." And another one called "Money Tree."
Yeah, we have played "Money Tree" as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's great.
I'm over the moon talking to you guys. It's fantastic.
Well, good.
I wish I was there with you right now.
Well, we got an extra beer for you too. So,
and a chair.
Okay. And a chair. And I tell you what, I'm the boy to drink it too.
There you go. Well, and you know, I'm sure you do some of these outdoor festivals and things like that. Do y'all ever have any kind of barbecue cook-offs or things like that? Where
we do. We did a chili festival actually. Chili growers bring their wares over, and they sell, you know, like chili preserves, chili sauces, and they have barbecues out there as well, and people can go around and buy, you know, a piece of like sausage or rib or whatever, and marinate them in chili and wine and all that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah, we do. We do have a lot of barbecues in Australia.
Well, that's what we're missing, the weather to do barbecues here. You know, it's kind of we got a barbecue season. We're going to start gearing up around March, April.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cook all the way through October before it gets too cold. So we got a pretty good, here in Memphis, we got a pretty good barbecue season. And, you know, Memphis is known for two things, blues and barbecue. And so that's
rockabilly.
I've heard a song there by Dan Penn.
Yeah.
And it's called Memphis Women and Fried Chicken.
Memphis Women and Fried Chicken?
Memphis Women and Fried Chicken.
Sounds good to me.
It's a great tune.
We got to
see if you can pick it up. I may be recording that.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah. But we do have a lot of barbecues in the summertime here. Of course, we've got... Cosmopolitan sort of place, Victoria.
Yeah.
And we got all different nationalities. So it's like a big mixing bowl, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like Turkish people, there's Germans and so on, and everyone's got their own style of cooking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So you got the big melting pot, yeah.
But I've learned a lot from the Americans because when, like I said, when we were in Vietnam, a lot of the GIs, like when they have a day off or something like that, they used to come over and hang out with us. And they used to bring meat around or chicken or whatever, and they marinate it. And this is in Saigon.
Yeah.
And we'd have a great big barbecue and
there
just eat and drink, you know.
Yeah.
When they had time off, yeah. And I've learned quite a bit, like on marinating and stuff like that.
Yeah. We do a lot of that here as well, and do all kinds of experiments, some good, some bad, and you know.
Yeah, that's right. You got to give it a try. You know, some things work, some things don't. So you learn by your mistakes, don't you?
Absolutely. So, tell me another song. Let's pick another song to play. What would be our next cut that we need to play?
We need an intro to this one.
Yeah, from the last CD, Why Me?
Why Me?
Okay. It's called Why Me.
Okay.
It's a Delbert McClinton song.
Oh, yeah. We like us some Delbert.
I love the guy.
Yeah.
Why Me?
Okay.
Working with the band, just trying to keep the blues alive. She looked like a bunny on a Playboy magazine. I just had to meet her, she's the cutest thing I ever seen. She had high heel boots, long hair, and big blue eyes. The way she was moving to the music had me hypnotized. I said,
baby,
what's your name? I should have known better, Lord, only got myself to blame. Why me? Falling like this is the very last thing I need. If I had any sense, you know I'd turn around and ride and leave.
drinking now?
We are drinking Oofda Bock. And
Oofda Bock.
Oofda is no doubt a Wisconsin thing, like, and so, and they have a lot of Wisconsin mannerisms. What
is it, Swedish or something?
Well, they've got a lot of Irish and Danish and German heritage. Okay, so here's a Bock brewed to appease the gods of winter. Hearty and full-bodied, this big beer brewed in the Rheinheitsgebot tradition. Our Bock comes from its mahogany hue, naturally. You can expect this beer to be complex and smooth, with deep chocolate and coffee undertones, which I got.
Yeah, definitely.
Complementing the rich bouquet. No matter if you choose to enjoy our Bock before, during, or after dinner, remember to serve at about 48 degrees Fahrenheit, because, like many good things in life, the warmer the Bock is, the sweeter it gets. So, 7.3 by volume.
Yeah.
So that's a nice strong beer.
It's a tasty beer. It's a sweet, almost got like a maple type of finish
to it. Oh, yeah, it's got some wonderful taste. And the reason I wanted to save this for this segment is I am planning to do an all-grain Bock.
So that's the next brew project for you.
Right. Okay. I did a Bock last year, and around Lent is when you crack open your Bock.
That was the Lenten beer that you made.
Right. So they've got May Bock, they got Doppel Bock, they got regular Bock. I haven't decided which Bock I'm going to do yet, but...
And we were talking earlier about you can find the most, I think, well-known Bock in the U.S. Shiner
Bock. Shiner Bock, right. And I found, did we ask a question about why there was a goat on the label?
Yeah, we talked about it and couldn't figure if it was Satan worship or had to do with the...
No, Bock means goat.
Bock means goat. Okay.
Which I discovered on the Modern Marvels tape on brewing.
Okay, and that was the Modern Marvels is on the History Channel.
On the History Channel. They did a wonderful segment on brewing beer. And also a segment on distilling liquors, but more interesting brewing beers.
That's right. And this is a very, very nice beer. Very tasty, good mouthfeel, good color. The head is thick. I mean, that's like a very thick head.
Yeah, it's a nice tan.
In terms of bubbles, very fine, almost Belgian-like bubbles.
But I'm definitely getting the coffee and chocolate flavors, which I love.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was going to say this is like a porter, but it's stronger than a porter. I mean, more stronger, not in harshness, but in the richness of the taste. Very good.
So I mentioned that I'm going to do an all-grain. For Christmas, Mrs. Santa Claus got me an all-grain system, which consists of two coolers, a false bottom, a bunch of valves and plumbing, and a sparger, Phil Sparger.
So did you have to tell Mrs. Santa Claus exactly what to get?
I sent Mrs. Santa Claus the link to the URL and said, click here, buy this.
Yeah, click here and make my Christmas merry.
But we got it from Northern Brewer, and I've gotten several things from Northern Brewer, www.northernbrewer.com.
Yeah.
Fine folks out of Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Good.
And I definitely recommend them.
Okay. So we'll look forward to hearing about that.
Buy your stuff from them.
There you go.
Okay, so our last New Glarus beer, we do not have a printout for. We're going to have to read the bottle.
The barley wine.
Right.
And this is called the Tail Wagger Beer. And this is a barley wine. Barley wines are big beers. In fact, this is the strongest beer New Glarus has ever brewed for their friends in Wisconsin. This beer is malt accented. So we searched the world and found the richest, most expensive barley varieties we could find. We bought the best barley available, not only in the U.S., but in Belgium, Germany, and Scotland. You can thank Scottish farmers for growing golden, can't read that, something poinsettia barley, because we used bushels of it in this beer. So we've got a little bit of Scottish barley in this, and we're going to tap into this New Glarus barley wine.
This is the first barley wine I've ever had. So it's kind of scared me, kind of like my first Russian Imperial Stout scared me.
So the barley wine, we're going to go ahead and crack this open.
Audio. It's actually out of the beer range.
Yeah. It is, and we don't have an alcohol or content on this. We'll have to find this and put it on there, but I'm guessing this is going to be on up there, right?
Yeah.
So here you go. Pour you a little bit of that. The labels, this is one of the things I like about New Glarus, is, you know, we're not really big about talk about the art a lot of beers. That's something we should probably touch on sometime. But theirs are very simple line drawings, very clean, and just a nice. They kind of have that homey feel.
Maybe two, three color graphics.
Yeah, nothing. They're not going out of their way. They're doing a nice little presentation, but they're not trying to put on the dog or impress anybody.
Okay, this has a nice aroma, a nice nose. It's golden in color.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see how it tastes.
Okay. And a lot of bubbles, a lot of fine bubbles. Good head on it. And what's the verdict here?
Strong? It's strong, but it's kind of sweet and mm-hmm. smooth. I'm liking this.
Yeah, you can definitely, man, you can feel and then taste alcohol.
Yeah, it warms you.
Oh, mama. So we'll have to find out. This is probably like a...
That's why we saved this for our last beer of the show.
I'm saying it's like 43% alcohol.
No way. Oh, on this show, Modern Marvels, they interviewed the guy from Samuel Adams, Koch, I forget his name is.
With the Brewmaster guy?
The Brewmaster guy. Yeah. And he does a whole segment on Utopias,
really?
Which is their 25%
killer,
alcohol.
Yeah, the killer beer.
Yeah, right? That is the highest...
Well, it used to be the highest.
Yeah.
It's one of the highest alcohol beers, right?
Well, when they filmed this, it was the highest naturally fermented alcohol product. So,
Well,
and he was making all sorts of faces when he was drinking it, so I don't know how enjoyable it was.
Well, yeah, and see, what's the point of that? I mean, you got to enjoy something like this. This is obviously a high-test beer, but it's funny that if you look at it, it's very clear and clean and... You would not know looking at it what you're about to get yourself into.
I mean, some of the stouts are more scary looking than this.
Yeah. But we mentioned the artwork, and I started put together, you know, on our travels that we do, I try and bring back coasters, right? Little souvenirs, little mementos. And for Christmas, whereas you got the big multi-grain cross-brewing fancy system, I got a poster, and it's not really a poster. It is, and it's down here. I'm looking at it. It's in the beer room, the control room, the big foamy head official studios. It is a this is kind of a neat thing, and it's easy to do for people who enjoy beer. It's a little poster frame, and in it have been inserted coasters from all of these various brewers and places. It's one of those things that's like, well, this has kind of started me on my
There was
collection.
Time and talent put into that. That's a
there was.
Wonderful gift.
There was. It was a very thoughtful gift and given to me by my eldest male child, who I think he knows that I like a beer or two. And he, in turn, got a Mr. Beer kit.
No kidding.
So hopefully I'll steer him on the correct path to beer consumption.
Right.
And
it's about quality, not quantity.
There you go. So I believe we are coming down the home stretch here.
We probably have a 6-hour show here.
Yeah, we do. We got one more segment from Joe, and then we're going to call it done, and we'll be right back. I'll tell you what, I think we should have had an extra beer before we started. We're a lot more organized after 3 or 4 beers. Or at least
we. Oh, yeah, well.
Oh, thank you.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just taking a sip right now.
All right. Well, let me let's bring it back in. And gosh, I'd love to spend hours talking to you, but we have got to wind it up a little bit. So we've heard some cuts from Midnight in New Orleans, and what was your previous album again? Why Me? And so people have, you know, we played you on a couple of shows. If people want to buy the CD, I know they can go to cdbaby.com.
CD Baby, yeah.
Anywhere.
They could SoundClick.
Right.
Jogalia.com.
Right. The jogalia.com. That's right. Okay, well, listen, Joe, we sure appreciate you taking the time out.
It's been great talking to you.
It's great talking to you guys. I really appreciate it. And, well, we're friends, and And we got to keep in touch.
There you go.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Good day, mate.
All the best to you and all your listeners.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Right, okay, bye.
So I guess that's it for this segment. We've enjoyed our Wisconsin beer. We enjoyed our friend Joe Galea. We enjoyed his music. It's been a lovely Wednesday evening for us here. And
it's fun doing the beer run.
Yeah. And we are looking forward to this year. I think we're off to a good start. And stick with us. Please visit the website at BigFoamyHead.com. You know what we forgot to mention?
The Big Foamy Head Sportswear.
Yes. The new look and feel. It's out there. We've got our official mascot, the Beer Guy, conceived over a vast quantity of beverages in California, hanging over a bar, looking at Catholic schoolgirl outfits. It's there. It's a new. Go to visit the website, BigFoamyHead.com.
So now when we joke about having revenue, we're not actually kidding.
No, we could make at least upwards of 75 cents per shirt. So tell all your friends.
Yeah.
Go buy something out there. And
give us feedback.
Give us feedback, right. And we want to know what would you like to hear, what would you like to see. If you've got beers that you'd like us to review, give us a shout, visit the website, give us comments, give us feedback, whatever you got.
Yeah, don't be a passive listener. Just join right in.
Join right in. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.